Our scripture reading for this afternoon's sermon is 2 Corinthians 1. We're going to read 2 Corinthians 1, verses 1 to 11, but our text will be verses 3 to 5. So we're considering Lord's Day 1, which we confessed, we used as our confession this afternoon. We'll be considering 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 to 5. As our text for Lord's Day, considering Lord's Day 1. So 2 Corinthians 1, beginning in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints who are throughout Achaia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Or, if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers of our sufferings, so also you are sharers of our comfort. For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a peril of death, and will deliver us, he on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us. You also joining and helping us through your prayers, so that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed on us through the prayers of many. So reading verses 3 to 5 again is our text. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. But if we are afflicted... Oh, sorry. That's where it stops. End of verse 5. It'll help for you to keep your Bibles open to our passage this afternoon. I will mostly be working my way through the verses as they come, but also I will be jumping back and pointing a little bit forward as well. Let us ask the Lord's blessing on his word. Let us pray. Dear Lord, you are awesome and worthy of all praise. And so, dear Lord, we pray that as we consider your word this afternoon, that you will be glorified and honored through the words of my mouth and through the meditations of all of our hearts. Please work in us by your Holy Spirit now and change us from the inside. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, this afternoon we begin our series through the Heidelberg Catechism. And I want us to consider before we start the sermon, just to remember that the Heidelberg Catechism is a faithful summary of the truths that are in God's Word. Well, the Catechism begins in Lord's Day 1 by asking us the most well-known question in Reformed circles. What is your only comfort in life and in death? This is a great question of our day and age as well, isn't it? What can I do? Or what can I get that is going to give me the greatest comfort in this life? Due to sin entering the world, it made life difficult for everyone in their work, made it difficult for everyone in their relationships, and it made all of life in general just very difficult, didn't it? Everyone looks for comfort outside of themselves, for some form of comfort in life, and especially in the face of death, they search for comfort. How can we find comfort? Lord's Day 1 is a striking question, isn't it? What is your only comfort in life and in death? And that word only really intensifies the question, doesn't it? If I ask you, what comforts you? Well, it's not as intense a question. And it doesn't really get to the heart of the issue, does it? Because we can all too easily be comforted by temporary pleasures, can't we? Or maybe your idea of what comforts you is being able to sleep in your own bed at night. Maybe it's that you can relax at home in your favorite chair. Maybe it's being able to come home at the end of a long, hard day's work and just being able to enjoy a home-cooked meal. Or maybe it's the even simpler things in life that comfort you. Maybe it's a massage. Maybe it's a good book to read or a movie or something like that. Children, when you wake up at night and you've just had a nightmare and it's still really dark outside, it's a comfort to know that your parents are home with you, isn't it? That's a comforting thing. People, pets, food, sleep, music, all of these things can comfort us. But these people, these things are temporary comforts. Because as life carries on, all too soon we are back facing the troubles of this world again. And so this afternoon we're going to consider the comfort that we can have in life and in death that God alone can give us. So in order to do that, we're going to be considering these words from Paul in 2 Corinthians 1 verses 3 to 5. These words are the beginning of Paul's apostolic blessing of God. And we're going to consider Paul's apostolic blessing as it relates to Lord's Day 1 in 3 points. Firstly, God is comfort. Secondly, who does God comfort? And then thirdly, how God comforts. So firstly, we need to understand that God is comfort. Considering verse 3, we see Paul describe who God is. Paul says there, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort." Have you ever stopped to think about what comfort actually is? What is it, other than just being a word? Where does it come from? When people seek to explain the origin of the universe, they talk about how physical matter came into existence. Well, what about morals, good and bad? Where do they come from? What about comfort and other attributes? Where do they come from? No one ever seeks to explain the existence of these things. For many, they just simply are. Which sadly means that for them, they have no objective reason to exist. They have no real purpose. But when you understand the Bible, and especially you understand the God of the Bible, life starts to make a lot more sense. It's because of God that good and bad find their definition. It's because of God that attributes such as love, mercy, and comfort have meaning and are perceived to be what they truly are. And so we need to understand who God is in order to understand how it is that we can have comfort in the face of everything that happens in life and in death. And so Paul tells us that God is the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. The Apostle Paul shows us here that God is characterized by mercy. God's constant attitude is mercy. And so God is the source and fount of all mercy. He's the one from whom all acts of mercy flow. Just think about that for a minute. All acts of mercy flow from God. He is the epitome of mercy, and he is full of kind compassion. Mercy is God's greatest attribute. Now, I want us to think about this this afternoon. God and his attributes are one. You can't separate God's attributes from who he is. In his very being, God is mercy. Because of who God is, because he is merciful. Because he is mercy, therefore he is merciful. This ought to be a comfort to sinners, because all have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God, and everyone deserves hell and death. And yet God is a God of mercy. God will surely show mercy. And because God shows mercy, and his mercy produces comfort, so too God is the source of all comfort as well. This is Paul's statement of faith in God. God possesses mercy and God gives all comfort. True comfort comes from none other than God himself. Look at the context in which Paul writes this, about this comfort. And just see what we've even just read. You know, it's Paul's been through so many different trials. He has suffered so much, even despairing at times for his own life. And yet in the suffering, Paul is able to say that God is the source of all his comfort. So God is the Father of mercy and the God of all comfort. That's true. But to whom does he show mercy and who does he comfort? This brings us to our second point this afternoon. Who does God comfort? What does God the Father do? Verse 4, Paul says, he comforts us in all our affliction so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. God comforts us. Us, meaning Paul, the Corinthian Christians. And by extension, us living in that New Testament era, all of God's people today are comforted by God. And it's significant that Paul uses this word comfort four times in this verse. The word comfort is used in the sense of standing beside someone for the purpose of helping them through a severe testing. It paints the picture of someone giving ongoing encouragement to another who is suffering all kinds of hardship and trials in this life. Now, I remember when I was 5 or 6, so yes, children, a long time ago, my family was making our annual journey to Auckland to see my grandparents. Well, we were near Pukekohe when Mum and Dad decided we'd stop off at one of the many fruit and veggie shops along the way on the roadside. And we'd just pulled on into the car park when all of a sudden a truck comes flying in, chased by 5 or 6 police cars. We heard shots ring out. And so Mum and Dad yelled at us to get down on the floor of the van. So we did. That was very, very scary. But I was comforted when my dad held my hand. I knew my dad was with me in that moment, and he loved me, and that he had proven that time and time again to me. And so now, in this very scary moment, I knew my dad would look after me no matter what. This is the kind of comfort that Paul speaks of here, giving us this beautiful picture of a father holding his child's hand. I want us to notice that in this passage, Paul doesn't say that there's going to be no affliction for you in this life. Rather, Paul says, in effect, when you go through affliction, God comforts you in all your affliction. We're sinful people living in a sin-filled world, a world that is filled with sorrow and pain. affliction is just an ever-present reality here. And so as we live, as we go through struggles and suffering, we go through these trials of various kinds. Life leaves you with many, many scars. But I want us to think about this. We only ever find comfort outside of ourselves. The answer is never to look within. You can see that. If you've ever experienced a traumatic event, whether it be health issues for yourself or a loved one, or you've lost a loved one, and so on, you find comfort outside of yourself and other people or in things. For example, you can find comfort by just being in the presence of other people. You can find comfort in reading scripture. You can find comfort in listening to music, playing sports, or even drinking alcohol, to name a few. And so how can we find comfort in the face of our sinfulness and the fallenness of this world and the suffering that comes from it? Well, the fact that God is comfort and the comfort that we experience comes from Him means that comfort isn't just something random, it's not circumstantial, but it's something that we can truly and lastingly, it's not something that we can truly or lastingly get from things in this world. But God is the only source of all comfort. And so that means that the things you even do gain comfort from, even the temporary comfort that we get from people and things in this life, is a gift from God. You need to see that in all of life, whether it is to do with life or it is to do with death, we need to go to God for comfort. Our only true source of comfort is God Himself. So like I said, comfort's not random. It's not something that comes to us randomly. Just think about this. Everyone in the world receives certain levels of comfort through various means that God gives them, regardless of whether they're a believer or an unbeliever. Remember, Scripture talks about the rain falling on those whom the Lord chooses, right? But the reality is that the only true source of comfort in life and in death, and that's key, in death as well, is that we belong to our faithful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as the Catechism says. The unbeliever doesn't have true comfort. And so the Catechism tells us it's only by faith in Jesus Christ that we can receive true comfort from God. So this brings us to our third point, how God comforts us. In verse 3, Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." It's beautiful words. Paul calls God the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ truly became a man, because He took on our human flesh representing us. And in this way, God was Jesus' God. But with reference to the fact that Jesus is God the Son, so in relation to His divine nature, God was Jesus' Father as well. As we heard this morning, God sent His greatest gift of love, His Son Jesus Christ, into this fallen, sinful world, so that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. In Galatians, Paul tells us of Jesus' saving work, that we're now adopted as His sons and daughters. So it is in Jesus Christ that God is now our God, that He is now our Father as well. As Lord's Day 9 says, "Because God is God, He is able to do whatever He says He will do. And because God is our Heavenly Father, He desires to care for us. He desires to comfort us and will turn to our good whatever adversity He sends us in this sad world." Verse 5, Paul goes on to say, "For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ." Brothers and sisters, You can be sure that just as you suffer in many different ways throughout life for Christ, so too your comfort is abundant in Christ. The picture that Paul gives the Corinthian church and us by extension in relation to the sufferings that we face in this life is that of a flood of sufferings that threaten to overwhelm us. Paul shared in Christ's suffering, and at times it overwhelmed Paul to the point that he despaired of his own life. I have to ask you this afternoon, is that true for you too? Have you ever despaired of your own life in the midst of trials and suffering? I hope you can hear and believe these words that are of comfort in Lord's Day 1 and from 2 Corinthians 1 this afternoon. Just as your sufferings in this life flood over you and threaten to overwhelm you, God in Christ comforts you. God sends you abundant, overflowing comfort in the person and work of Jesus Christ. The comfort that believers have in Christ is overflowingly at their disposal, thanks to God the Father, who is our Father and God as well, the God of all comfort, thanks to our being adopted as God's sons and daughters through the saving work of Jesus Christ. I want you to think about this. We all go through various difficulties in life. Sometimes it can be very, very hard in the midst of those difficulties to feel the nearness of God, to even feel any kind of comfort for long periods of time. And then it can come and it can go. But I want us to think about this. If you know Jesus Christ, that comfort is freely available to you. I want you to think about it too. If the thought of Christ and what he's done for you on the cross doesn't comfort you, or you get very little comfort from that thought, well then I would encourage you to read God's word more. See Jesus Christ for who he is. Get to know him and you will find comfort. The very difficult suffering that you've experienced, that you continue to experience in this life, Christ has experienced as well. He knows what you're going through. I often think of that verse where Jesus wept, right? The shortest verse in the Bible. He cried at the death of his friend. Jesus cried. And he even knew what he came to do. Came to set all things right. Still, suffering is present in the sinful and fallen world, but brothers and sisters, know that Christ has given you that ultimate victory over sin, Satan, death, and hell. So that you can be comforted knowing that as you suffer, you're walking your way to that crown of glory that awaits you. You also know that in the face of death, the comfort that death is merely that portal to life everlasting with God, where there is no more suffering ever. God will shower us with his comfort, and in which he comforts us abundantly through Jesus Christ. And in him, our comfort knows no limits, because brothers and sisters, it will last for all eternity. Now you might say to me, yeah, well, that promise for future comfort that we can experience now is all great, but what about the actual suffering that I'm going through now? And notice Paul says, we share in his comfort too. Who has Jesus Christ shared with his people? The Holy Spirit. The Comforter that we sang about in the song just before the sermon. The Holy Spirit ministered to Jesus Christ throughout his earthly ministry, as we saw this morning, especially in times of intense trial. Well, brothers and sisters, the truth of that means that you're never alone in your suffering. You're never alone. Jesus sent the Helper, the Comforter, His Holy Spirit to His church after His ascension into heaven. Jesus Christ's ministry on earth is now complete. He now rules over all things for the good of the church, and by His Holy Spirit, He dwells in us. He is our Savior, our help, and our great comfort in life and in death. Because Christ's Holy Spirit dwells in us, we belong to Him. Both now and in the life to come. Remember John 10, the great passage about Jesus Christ, the great shepherd. No one can snatch us out of His hand. We are His. And as we walk this life of sorrow, as it's called in Lord's Day 9, we take comfort in knowing that Jesus Christ has gone on before us. Having saved us from our sin, we now seek to live lives of gratitude to Him and show love to others by comforting them in their times of affliction. Truly comfort them. Because we know Jesus Christ and the comfort that can only be from God our Father through Jesus Christ, His Son. So brothers and sisters, hear and know this today. No matter what you're going through, because of the grace of the life and death and resurrection of Jesus, having been joined to Him by the Holy Spirit, your life has meaning and purpose. Your suffering has meaning and purpose in God's great victory in Jesus Christ over all that sin has broken. So God's love in Jesus Christ results in our comforting and our comfort during our afflictions for that purpose of comforting others going through affliction as well. Purpose and result merge when God is at work. Paul says in verse 4, "You are comforted so that you'll be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which you yourselves are comforted by God." When we come to the God of all comfort, united to Jesus Christ by His Holy Spirit, we're also united to one another, brought into community with each other through Christ's Holy Spirit dwelling in us. Joined to Christ, you're also part of the body of Christ, the church. God is a God of practical means. So I think it's absolutely beautiful. God uses us in our affliction to share His comfort to others in affliction. God gives us a life purpose in our own suffering. Christ's Holy Spirit brings us into unity with each other. God uses us in each other's lives to show the love and comfort of Christ to one another. And it's in this way that the gospel of Jesus Christ comforts us. How does the world participate in this comfort? The answer is that they come to know Jesus Christ through His Word and Spirit working in us and in them. We're called to live out the gospel, to witness to all the people we come in contact with, loving them as Christ has commanded us to love them. In this way, living out the gospel before them, and well, then Lord willing, as they see the comfort that you have in Jesus Christ, they'll desire to have that true comfort for themselves as well. So dear brothers and dear sisters, when you go through trials and afflictions, remember that you belong to Jesus Christ, both body and soul, in life and in death. Know this truth. Believe it. Live it out. And share this comforting truth with others. God is the source of all mercy and of all comfort, and as such, He is worthy of all our praise, our whole life long. God is to be praised for His grace and comfort to us in Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Dear merciful Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great grace and for your great mercy. Thank you for the comfort and grace that you have bestowed upon us without measure in your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to see that even as we suffer in this life for Christ, so too we find an abundance of comfort in him as well. Dear Lord, please use us. Please use us as instruments in your hand to bring comfort to this world that is suffering. Please help us spread the good news about your Son, Jesus Christ, that they in the world might find comfort and peace in you as well. May our lives be a constant witness to your goodness and grace that you've shown to us and your Son, and may we, in all that we do this week, bless your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.